Blog Talk Radio.
One night, Farmer Brown was taking the air, locked up the barn and with the greatest of care. To the hen house, something stirred when he hollered, "Who's there?" This is what he heard: "There ain't nobody here but us chickens. Ain't nobody here at all. So quiet yourself, stop all that fuss. There ain't nobody here but us." He kindly point that gun the other way and holla, holla, holla up in the hay, 'cause there ain't nobody here but us chickens. Ain't nobody here at all. You stomping around, shaking the ground, kicking up an awful dust. We chickens trying to sleep and you butt in. And holla, 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 wiggle chin, 'cause tomorrow is a busy day. We got things to do, we got eggs. A lot of setting, getting chicks to hatch, 'cause there ain't nobody here but us chickens, done. Nobody at all. So quiet yourself, stop on that bus. There ain't nobody here but us. They kind of point that gun the other way.
You're listening to Nonprofit Radio, FM 97.3, KZAC LP Sacramento, 104.9 FM, KGIG LP Modesto Ripon, RFM 93.3, KPHD LP Modesto Series.
Welcome to today's edition of The Backstory with former Mayor Carmen Sabatino, with news and information you will not read in the local paper or hear on area radio and TV. The Backstory presents an insider's view of what's really happening on a local political scene. And now, let's join your host, Carmen Sabatino, to learn The Backstory.
Well, good morning, and welcome once again to The Backstory. It's a beautiful Friday here in Modesto, and we're looking forward to a great weekend, and hope you're doing all the planning you have to do to make that happen for you. We talked, I think it was yesterday, and mentioned it probably Wednesday too, about the Gang of Four. The Gang of Four is a city council group that was created by Emerson Drake, who was a, they define him as a blogger and an activist or something. I wish they'd drop all that stuff and just say that he is a concerned citizen. If you show concern for your government, why do you have to be called an activist? Isn't that something that you're supposed to do? Yes, you're...
It's kind of a slight. I think it's a slight.
Well, sure it is. And they know what they're doing. But anyhow, Emerson did get a great commentary on the Modesto Bee, and I've had numerous customers coming by and saying how they thought that was great, and so we'll hope you saw that. But we're going to talk a little bit about that in just a little while. The big debate apparently is that the next election is 18 months from now. It's going to be an awfully long election. 18 months of campaigning is quite a bit. But there is some research that we want to get for you on that. But in the meantime, as you listen to a 5-minute speech by City Chamber of Commerce CEO Cecil Russell. When I was elected 20 years ago, and you would think that after 20 years, Mr. Russell would say, yeah, we did take some taxpayers' money and get it over with. But no, he continually battles the story that the city Chamber of Commerce, the Modesto Chamber of Commerce, and the Convention and Visitors Bureau were in the same office. And it's curious to me that when I became mayor, I discovered that that wasn't a good idea. That, in fact, the Chamber of Commerce at the time was sharing not only the office space, but sharing taxpayers' money. That's stealing. I don't care what you call it, Cecil. That is stealing. That's why I sort of got a kick out of Nancy Pelosi's comments about our good friend Attorney General Barr when she said that was lying, Mr. Barr, and that was a crime. Mr. Russell, that was lying at the time, and stealing is a crime. So we're not looking to prosecute anybody here, but we are looking to get the story straight, and I don't have to tolerate Mr. Russell's tirade that you're going to hear in just a little while about how upset he is that I would mention that at that time we separated the Modesto Chamber of Commerce and the Convention and Visitors Bureau. And the Convention Visitors Bureau was moved over to the hotel, and so they had separate boards and so on. Well, anyhow, without going too much further in what's happening now, what's happening is that they want to privatize in the sense that they want to make the Convention and Visitors Bureau a nonprofit again. Take it out of the city's hands. And that fits in, folks, with what's happening in most of our government, turning it over to consultants and nonprofits to run. Well, apparently, Mr. Russell had all he can take of my backstory. And so when I reported to the city council briefly, in less than 5 minutes, what the history of the separation of the chamber and the CVB, why that happened and what was the result and so on, and I made that known again as part of history at a city council meeting. After I made that presentation, Mr. Russell rose to the occasion, and this is what he said about former Mayor Carmen Sabatino. And Mr. Russell, of course, you're welcome to talk more. You were advised not to say what you said from this tape, and yet you did. And Mr. Russell, I would predict that your days at the chamber are numbered, but we'll see. Let's go ahead and listen to.
Thank you. Do I have anybody else from the public wishing to speak on this item?
You know, the person that was just up here says that he was mayor, and the truth is, he was. Before he was mayor, I was a board member, incoming chairman of the Chamber of Commerce. Had been on the board for a number of years. And I became chairman. And I'm not going to tell you the whole story. You know, the person who was just up here loves to tell you about the backstory. And I hate to use the term fake news. But I've listened to his derogatory remarks about the chamber and about me personally. I became chairman of the board. The CVB was housed in the same unit as the chamber. Had been for some time. Now, I want to give you a history lesson. It had its own board. It had its own P&L. It had a, it's on its board, they were appointed by the city council. They had to have their P&L audited, not only by an independent auditor, but also by the city. The Chamber of Commerce charged for their rent, for all the equipment, everything they did, $25,000. It's been said by the person that was here that the chamber stole $25,000 a year. That's absolutely an untruth. And frankly, I'll tell you, should be charged with libel. Because there's nothing further from the truth. $25,000, and in his vendetta, he swore to take the chamber, I mean the CVB away from the chamber like it was some big deal. It was a big deal because majority of Chamber of Commerce's and CVB's occupy the same place, because when people come into a community, they go to either of those places to ask about what's going on in the city. So it was moved, and it was moved over to the DoubleTree. Go back and look at how much it cost the CVB to be in those quarters and for all of the equipment and everything that they had to do year in and year out. I'll guarantee you it was twice as much, if not three times as much, as what was the chamber was charging the CVB. Now, I'm only up here to kind of set the record straight. The untruths will continue. I support the direction that this council is going on today to, I'm going to say, reinvent the CVB. I've read the white paper, and it's really well done. And it advances the cause of the city. It advances the cause of hospitality in this community, which is really all we should be concerned about. So hopefully you'll consider the truths that I mentioned. It's the first time I've ever publicly refuted those claims. I've been told not to, because you don't want to give any credence whatsoever to a lie. But frankly, I can't sit here time and time again and for my own reputation to be impugned, and the reputation of a great organization in this community to be impugned by someone that I have absolutely no respect for. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Mr. Sabatino, you've had your time. Mr. Sabatino, you've had
Mayor,
your time.
Mayor, this now involves your city.
Mr. Sabatino,
I've been accused of libel, Mayor.
Time.
I have a right to respond to a public comment.
No.
Okay?
Chief.
He's opened the can of worms. One more bullet. 846-1814.
I mean, you've had your time.
Yeah.
I need to
yeah.
step
yeah.
away from
you've
the mic.
A little too much tonight, Carmen.
Way too much.
Thank you. Do I have anybody else?
And there you go.
Well, Mr. Russell, it's interesting to me that your Chamber of Commerce has a record of 20 years. Let's just take the last 20 years. Let's just read what you've done, your chamber has done for this city. 20 years of improving the downtown, 20 years of creating a vision for this city that was possible to create. I've had enough of you, Mr. Russell. Okay? When you talk about calling me a liar, when you use words like vendetta, that I have a vendetta, that double tree is more expensive, and that the untruths will continue. Well, you called me a liar, and yet you haven't been called to answer. Well, that's what we're going to try and do over the coming days. We're going to make public records requests and maybe file complaints. But this I know, Mr. Russell, an apology to me is not what I'm looking for. What I'm looking for is the truth. And the truth will make you out the person who is not telling the truth. That little segment, incidentally, do we have that on Facebook yet, the transcript? We have a transcript of that.
We do have a transcript. I can get it up.
And well, we don't need it up right now, but we will put it on our website. I want you to listen to or read, really, when you read the comments of the council people who denied me the right to talk. Oh, no, you can't. No, you can't respond. Well, when I turned around from speaking at the dais, and I said goodnight, who should be approaching the dais, the podium, but Police Chief Galen Carroll with another policeman beside him. When I turned around, I took two or three steps, and the chief waved to his partner, and they turned around and went back. So here we have, who waved Police Chief Carroll up to the podium? Were they going to lay hands on the former mayor of Modesto? Who was it that called wanted to call the police up to the podium to make sure I was silenced or even escorted out of the room? That's what we're doing here in Modesto. We're using the law to protect corruption. But, of course, you know, that's happening everywhere, all over the nation. No, that's okay. It's okay. Well, let's switch subjects. That will be on our website. Please feel free to read it. But I didn't really believe what I just told you about the police chief. But someone, and some of these people were the Gang of Four. So there's, Mr. Russell, here's another vendetta that I'm doing this because the Gang of Four, as I looked up, I know Zalaki was there, and Ridenour went nuts. I recall he just stood up. And we had Jenny Kinoyer, of course. She didn't say anything. I recognized the voice of, I think it was Christy Ayu, who said that I've gone too far. What was too far? Did I go too far in telling the council what was happening to taxpayer money? Is that going too far? Well, yeah, maybe it is, especially when it's the public officials who are misusing taxpayer money. Kevin Villain wrote an article about Modesto looks to prosecute minor drug offenses after DA's office stops handling them. As you know, the district attorney's office, Birgit Flatiger, has stated that she just doesn't have the money or the resources. There's something... she said her decision was temporary. District Attorney Flatiger decided a couple of months ago that her office would no longer file charges for some low-level crimes, including drug possession or driving without a valid license. And according to previous beat coverage, she said that's because her office does not have enough prosecutors to meet the workload and needed to focus on higher level offenses. Yes, you spent 3 years, Ms. Flatiger, 3 years in trying to get Mr. Carson, the Frank Carson case. And if you don't have enough prosecutors, that means you don't have enough money. And if you can't keep prosecutors, that means you're not paying them enough. So what did she do here? She said it. Her office does not have enough prosecutors. And it's needed to focus on higher level offenses. Well, she said it was a temporary decision. And it's not something she wanted to do. Well, exactly what is it that she wanted to do or what is it that she wants to do? Flatiger did not respond to an email Monday afternoon seeking comment from her, even though County CEO Jody Hayes said in a text about the city's plan, "We haven't received a request, so I can't comment until we're in the loop. I've been told they want to talk about this." What they want to talk about is hiring another attorney for the city of Modesto. Well, as you know, the city of Modesto has as its attorney the principal of a law firm called Myers Knave, and that would be Adam Lindgren. Mr. Lindgren truly represents the true power in this city, and the proposal is to hire, I imagine they're going to hire another person with district attorney experience in order to put him in the office. There's only one attorney in the city council's office, city attorney's office, and that's John Goulart. And John is formerly of the district attorney's office. 17 years ago, he was given the assignment to prosecute me, Carmen Sabatino. And he was told that that's what he had to do. And it was, I don't know, maybe it was good for me because he lost. Of course, there are a lot of district attorneys who have lost in this county, including Dave Harris, the deputy DA at the time. And Dave Harris is still with the district attorney's office, but he's not in the running for DA anymore. John Main, who ran against Birgit Flatiger, he ran. He got punished.
Afterwards there was some...
Yeah, he's over at Juvenile Hall, but he's not trying murder cases. I don't think he's downtown. And that happened quite quickly. To the winner go the spoils, and to the losers, they get spoiled. They get sent down. Okay? Well, under that backstory scenario, Jen Goulart may have been spoiled, or me. He may have been taken retribution on. He lost the Sabatino case, and after that, he left the DA's office, and he goes to the city attorney's office, where he prosecutes city code violations, you know, like camping in the parks or blighted property, illegal dumping, and so on. Well, Lindgren and Lopez now discussed a proposal of having another attorney in the city council's attorney's office to prosecute the crimes that Birgit Flatiger can't afford to do anymore. Apparently, Birgit says, well, you know, we don't have enough time. Well, the proposal could cost nearly $200,000 annually. Now listen to this. That includes the cost of a senior deputy city attorney who would have district attorney experience, a legal secretary, and other expenses. But Lopez said in an interview that this is a starting point and the cost could be less. Mr. Lopez, do you expect us to believe that when you start at $200,000, it's going to go down? No, I'm afraid
never.
It's going to go up.
It never goes down.
So why would you tell an untruth like that or offer an opinion that doesn't really make sense?
It's like when they increase taxes to take care of some emergency. That emergency is taken care of. You don't see those taxes again. There isn't no give back ever.
There's no vehicle. There's no way of giving taxpayers back their money. So, well, we're going to see what they want to do with that. But Lindgren said that the proposal combines Councilman Doug Ridenour and Bill Zalocki. There's two of the four. Maybe it's they're both, I think, in the running for mayor a year and a half from now. Maybe it gives them some press. Doug Ridenour and Bill Zalocki's request for an additional city attorney to handle neighborhood code violations. The city already has one. That's, we said before, that's Mr. Goulart. And a request from the police department for an attorney to handle the low-level offenses not being prosecuted by the DA's office. Backstory. Because the DA's office doesn't prosecute, like marijuana tickets, stuff like that, police are not inclined, even though they might do it, they're not inclined to be aggressive in filing charges against these minor offenses because it doesn't go anywhere.
Right. It doesn't make sense.
And all that does is create disrespect for the law. It's a waste of their time. And so the city says, gee, what we really ought to do here is we ought to expand our empire. Now, who's going to hire this new attorney? Well, I'll bet you Adam Lindgren is going to add to his empire.
That's his contract. That's what he does.
That's his contract. So, I think we got what, a minute left?
No, it's starting up right now.
Okay. That's it for today. We will be back Monday at 11 o'clock. Thanks for listening.